Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, July 29th, 2013, our transition week here as we get ready to go into August already. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope the new week is off to a pretty good start for you. The Buckmaster Show is live each weekday. We are here at 12:04, Monday through Friday. And we are with you on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we make the program available by podcasting, again, to my website, buckmastershow.com. The show also is posted to tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com as well. During this Monday afternoon, we'll begin with our Monday political face-off. Today we have Jeff Rogers with us and John Munger, 30 minutes past the hour. What's the deal with these e-cigarettes? Are they safe? We'll be talking with the head of the Arizona Smokers Helpline about the electronic cigarettes, and we'll close out the show with former state legislator Nancy Young Wright. Nancy is one of our community's leading animal welfare advocates. She has really taken the lead in helping get the word about this animal emergency at the Pima County Animal Care Center. If you have a question or comment, the Buckmaster Show live line is now open for you, 790-2040, or you can follow us on Facebook. It's time for our Monday political face-off. John Munger is here. John, Tucson attorney, former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. John has been a longtime Republican Party activist in this state. Jeff Rogers has been a longtime Democratic activist in Arizona. Jeff's a Tucson attorney. He's former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. This is a great organization, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Yes, Moe makes house calls. He'll do all the measuring, come out, make sure that everything is taken care of for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at Moe's Gallery.com. John and Jeff, how was the weekend?
Great weekend.
Good weekend?
Good. Took my grandkids to New York. Had a great time.
You did?
Yeah. Hotter in New York. Yeah, they were 13 and 11. We had a great time, but it was hotter in New York than it was in Tucson.
My goodness. Wow. Jeff, kind of an easygoing weekend for you?
No, got a horseback ride in each day, Saturday and Sunday. Had a good time.
Well, here we are, Monday, and I want to begin with this local election issue. Do we, in fact, continue in the cities of Tucson and Phoenix, and I don't know what other communities in Arizona have their elections in odd-numbered years? The state wants Arizona to have elections in even-numbered years. John, do you think that's a good idea or bad?
Well, I think it's a good idea. Actually, the purpose of it and the two issues are the proponents of that is that we will save money by having an election, one big election, which will save money. Then you won't have elections in the odd number of years as we do now for the city, so you won't have that expense, which is very, very expensive. The opponents say, wait, that means that the city council candidates will be at the bottom of the ballot in an even-year general election, and they want to have they're afraid that we'll lose attention in the city races. I can see both sides of it, but I think that it's better. We'll have a larger turnout if we do it during a general election. I think we'll have a larger turnout in a general election in even years, and I think we will save a lot of money, and I think that's important.
It does take a focus off the city races, though,
Jeff. It does, Rogers. And I think that's one unfortunate side effect is that people in the odd-numbered years are paying close attention to the city elections, and therefore you're getting informed voters. And so you'll have it being at the bottom of the ballot, you're going to have problems with that. You're also going to have problems fundraising for those candidates but it's in you know, there's just a limited amount of money in the pie there, and you know, people are saying to me now, well, you know, I couldn't afford to give to these campaigns if it was in those years. But the impetus for this idea came from an East Valley, Phoenix area city council race where a heavily favored Republican was upset in a surprise election, and there was a very low turnout. And so that gave some of the Republicans in the legislature, and this passed on a party line vote, the idea that they could prevent that by putting them into the even numbered years. Now, the question is whether or not this is a statewide concern, because if you remember back a couple of years ago, the Republicans in the legislature tried to impose nonpartisan elections on the city of Tucson. That case went all the way to the Arizona Supreme Court, and the city of Tucson won. And they're making the same arguments here, that you're meddling in, you know, charter cities have as their charter a kind of constitution, and that governs the city's roles. And so the charter cities, Phoenix and Tucson, are the ones that Tucson brought the suit and Phoenix intervened in the suit. They're the ones making the argument that we have this local control, and this is not a matter of statewide concern. You can't tell us what to do when it comes to these. I think this will be a closer call than the one on nonpartisan ones, because on the nonpartisan ones, it was clear they were singling out Tucson because it was the last city left with partisan elections.
Nonpartisan elections.
Mm-hmm. It was the last city with partisan elections. Everyone else went to nonpartisan. So it was clear they were singling out one city. Here, they're applying it to everybody. And in fact, even if the city of Tucson wins, it would only apply to charter cities, of which there's maybe a dozen or less left in Arizona. The rest of the cities and towns would still be subject to the law.
Does the city charter, can it be overruled by the state legislature?
Well, that's the issue.
Yeah.
And that is the issue. It's very much like the preemption issues between the federal government and the state. At what point does the federal government, federal laws preempt state law? And in this case, at what point do the state laws preempt city laws? I mean, it could come out either way. Jeff is right.
Yeah.
And there are arguments pro and con. I think I slightly favor going to the even year votes as part of the general election. One, because it will save a lot of money. There's no question that it will. And number two, we'll get a larger turnout. The problem is we have very, very small turnouts in city elections as they are today. And I don't think that's particularly inducive to, you know, a Democratic small d turnout, a large number of turnouts of people. I can see both sides of it. I certainly can see the city's point that they're a charter government. But I think the better policy would be to have these general elections. I think the other issue is important, and Jeff has raised that issue, and that's whether or not and at what point the city's charter cannot be preempted by the state government. Legitimate issue, and I think a court has to decide that.
Yeah, and the key, quote, legal issue in this is what they call a matter of statewide concern. And if it is a matter, if the court finds it's a matter of statewide concern, then the legislature prevails. If they say no, this is really a matter of local concern, then the charter city will prevail. And I think it's probably a close call.
It's our Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers and John Munger with us. I want to switch topics to 2014, quickly coming upon us, the gubernatorial race. John, what do you think the big issue is going to be? And before you answer that, I'll tell you what I think so far is shaping up to be a big issue, maybe the big issue, the Medicaid expansion.
I think the Medicaid expansion and spending money that either the state or the federal government doesn't have is very important. It's not so important from the point of view of that particular issue. It's more indicative of the overriding issue of spending money that we don't have. The issue with Medicaid expansion is that the federal government has said, look, if you expand your Medicaid, we the federal government will pay that. And theoretically, once the federal government withdraws that money, then you no longer have to continue to pay for that Medicaid expansion with state money. So the proponents of Medicaid expansion say, oh, well, great, we'll take the federal money and then we'll cut back when we don't have the state money. When we don't have the federal money and the state can't afford this expansion, we'll cut back. But the real answer is, number one, in my opinion. Number one, the federal money is Chinese money. We're spending money that the federal government pretends to have but really doesn't. And number two, realistically, once the federal government backs out of subsidizing the state, then realistically, can the state ever reduce the number of recipients? And I just don't think that's possible. I think the state will be locked in to having to come up with the money to cover those recipients who've been added while the state, while the federal government was subsidizing this program. So I think that we are basically digging ourselves a grave financially. And we're, in the meantime, with federal subsidies, we're spending money the federal government doesn't have.
Okay, Jeff Rogers sees it differently.
Well, the governor insisted that there be a part of the program that's kind of like a circuit breaker, that if the federal support for the program ever fell below 80%, then it automatically ends. So that addresses one concern, and I think she was very firm in having that there. The other concern about it is that it was the morally right thing to do, and economically for Arizona, it's the right thing to do. This will create jobs. It will help our hospitals and our communities, the rural community hospitals and clinics that are dealing with a lot of uncompensated care. It will increase the number of people on Medicaid by some 240,000, plus it'll keep another 50,000 people from falling off the rolls at the end of the year. So it's the right thing to do. And this is quite an interesting coalition. You've got what I call the sort of Chamber of Commerce Republicans, which I always kind of thought of John as one of those, who backed it and with money and with a lot of politics. And they backed the governor in this. And then you've got what I call the sort of more ideological spectrum of the Republican Party. And I'm wondering what kind of a primary war we'll see. Will they sacrifice people like Ethan Orr in a primary in a moderate district where someone like him is probably the only Republican who could possibly get elected? You know, will there be a little bit of bloodletting in the primaries? And John can probably better address that. But the voters have twice in the last 15 years voted in Arizona to expand Medicaid. And so I think in the general election, this probably helps Democrats more than Republicans. But I think we have to wait and see what happens in the primaries.
I think Bill and Jeff, one of the problems I see is that the hospitals are so powerful. They are extremely powerful in this state, and that's why what you call the Chamber of Commerce Republicans, which is, I wouldn't say dominated by the hospitals, but in which the hospitals are extremely influential, is supporting this. This is a subsidy program for the hospitals. And the problem I have is that I have, after a good deal of research, begun to conclude that the hospitals are the real problem causing the astronomical rise in healthcare costs in this country. They are raising costs for everyone. It all arises from the hospitals because there is not adequate competition amongst the hospitals. And they just keep their prices have risen astronomically and far above the consumer price index. And all that's happening here is that the hospitals are being subsidized. The interesting thing is they say they're nonprofit hospitals, but in reality, all that means is they don't have shareholders, but they are raising salaries, paying more, building buildings, doing all kinds of things, and they are making tons of money that they are spending. And this program is a subsidy for the hospitals. And I really am convinced that that's a problem that we have to face in this country.
Jeff, we're going to take a break. But when we come back from the break, are the hospitals the problem with this?
John's beginning to sound like a Democrat there. We've got to get a grip on these medical costs.
It's the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger is here and Jeff Rogers. We'll be right back.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees, but we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Our burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service. And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next day professional installation.
And a carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Also, you can follow Moe on Facebook. They have a growing presence there on Facebook. Jeff Rogers is here and John Munger. And before the break, John Munger was saying he is coming to the conclusion, Jeff Rogers, that we're talking about Medicaid expansion, that hospitals are part of the problem.
Well, you know, as we were talking during the break here, the two areas that have far exceeded inflation over the last two decades and the cost are college education and medical care. And medical care including hospitals and non-hospital care. And the inflation rate there has been extraordinary, although I will say since the Affordable Care Act has passed, we've seen the slowest growth in health care costs that we've seen in a generation. So it has helped. What little parts of it are in effect so far have begun to work. But I agree, that's part of the problem. The cost of health care has skyrocketed. And there are many causes for it. And as we were talking about during the break here, you know, some of them may be federal requirements. Some of them may be there's not enough competition. I think that's what John believes. I think there may be some truth to that. But in the rural areas, certainly, this Medicaid expansion is going to help a lot for our hospitals in those areas where there isn't any competition and they have to take on a lot of uncompensated care. This will help take care of that burden and take that burden off of them, and we won't have them going out of business or declaring bankruptcy as we saw in either Bisbee or Douglas recently.
The way I see this, I was mentioning at the break that I see the in areas where the federal government comes in with these subsidies, which is largely health care, they'll subsidize anything, and college education, they just keep throwing money at it. And in the health, what happens when you subsidize something is it gets more expensive. Just as a matter of economics, it will get more expensive. So the more they subsidize it, the more expensive it will get, number one, because there's more money thrown around, creates a demand. The colleges, to some extent, are solving that problem because there is so much competition amongst the colleges that students are now starting to say, hey, I don't need to go to Harvard. I can go to a great state university. And the colleges are starting to respond by having to lower the cost. The hospitals have not done that because look in Tucson. You've got, what, three hospitals to go to, four at the most, for a city of basically a million people? There isn't any competition. And we cannot solve that problem without competition and without making costs reflect reality. For the same care in the United States, it's about five times more expensive than it is in Europe.
Well, and one of the other things, that what competition there is hidden. I mean, there's like this hidden marketplace. So what happens is if you go in off the street and you say, I've got an emergency appendectomy, let's say the $20,000 is what they'll quote you. But if you have Medicare coverage, they're going to settle that for $7,000 or $8,000. If you have private insurance coverage, they're going to probably settle it for something around that or a little bit more. And so there's the price that's quoted that only if you walked in off the street and had no insurance would you potentially pay. And then there's the price that the insurance companies negotiate behind the closed doors and the Medicare. And that one's a little more open. But so what little competition there is, we don't get to see, and we don't get to see what bang we're getting for our buck either through our insurance company or through our own taxpayer dollars.
And what happens is the hospitals will quote you that $20,000. Now, if you come in and you end up settling it for $8,000 because you're on Medicare or whatever, they will write off. They will say, oh, well, we lost $12,000.
Right.
And so they will say all the time, well, we lost $12,000 on that. No, you didn't. You still got paid twice what it costs in a foreign country, and so we're playing accounting games here.
A caller wondered: Do either of you know anything about these DSH payments to hospitals that Obamacare will put a stop to? I'm not sure what.
I do not.
No, I'm not sure unless you know what DSH stands for. I might know then.
But, John, getting back to the primary that will be coming up in 2014, will it be a bloodbath for Republicans?
Oh, I don't think so. I think the Republican Party, like the Democratic Party, has its issues. The Democratic Party has the Clinton group, and they have the Obama group. Obama's way on the left, and Clinton's are more centrist, as signified by the Democrat, what do they call it, it's not the DNC. It's the Clinton group, and so you know they've got their extreme leftists and they've got their center leftists and we've got our center right and we've got our farther right. It'll all come together. I'm not worried about it at all.
Well, the only people unhappy in the Democratic Party are the liberals who think that Obama is somewhere to the right of Clinton. And there are some areas where I tend to agree with him. When you look at some of this national security stuff, it's you know, there's some of that's pretty troubling. But sometimes the people on the left and the far right agree on that one.
That's right.
Well, it'll be interesting. Go ahead, John.
Well, I just think that people are unrealistic if they don't think the parties are coming together. The 2014 election on both sides will be a key election. And I have every confidence that both parties will come together in the end. They will present good candidates, and we will have a real election on the issues.
Okay, John Munger and Jeff Rogers, thank you both very much. Hope you have a great week, both.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his family, they specialize in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Check out Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Also, check them out on Facebook. Coming up now to the bottom of the hour, on this Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, what's the deal with these e-cigarettes we're hearing so much about, these electronic cigarettes? We'll talk with the head of the Arizona Smokers Helpline about that right after the break. Stay with us.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Bradley Manning could find out as early as tomorrow afternoon whether he will be convicted of aiding the enemy, a crime punishable by life in prison. The judge says she expects to announce her verdict tomorrow in Manning's court-martial for sending government documents, secret material, to the website WikiLeaks. According to Swiss TV, 44 people have been injured in a train collision today, including four people suffering serious injuries in the head-on collision of two passenger trains. Syrian rebels have suffered a setback. Government troops have captured a key district in the embattled city of Homs. It had been a rebel stronghold since the beginning of the uprising against President Bashar Assad. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 27 points. The NASDAQ is off 9. The S&P 4 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Monday afternoon. We're at 12:35. We're going to talk a little bit about these e-cigarettes. Students, staff, and members of the public can no longer smoke e-cigarettes on school grounds in the Tucson Unified School District. The TUSD Governing Board approved that ban last week, adding that the device to a list of prohibited tobacco-related items. E-cigarettes are being treated like tobacco under the TUSD policy, but there is no tobacco in the devices. Some do, however, contain nicotine. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Stephen Michael. Stephen is director of the Arizona Smokers Helpline, also known as ASH Line, at the Mel and Eden Zuckerman College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. Stephen, how are you this Monday afternoon?
I'm doing great today, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks for coming on the program. Talk a little bit about what is an e-cigarette? Does that stand like for electronic cigarettes? And tell us what it is.
Well, an e-cigarette, the way they're designed is it's something that looks like a cigarette. So it's a cylindrical thing that looks like a cigarette that has a capsule of chemicals in it, including in several of them, nicotine. And what happens is when people inhale on them, there's a little ignition device that fires up and causes the e-cigarette to create some fumes that you inhale, and then you exhale just like a regular cigarette.
So these are nicotine-free devices, which look just like those that do contain nicotine, right?
The majority of them have nicotine. They really are nicotine devices.
Oh, I see.
There is a smaller percentage of them that are designed for people who want to get away from nicotine but still, I don't know, for one reason or another, want to continue with that habit of inhaling. And there's a lot of those in Europe where there's a whole subculture of people who use the e-cigarettes.
I realize that these e-cigarettes are relatively new, but what do we know about safety concerns, Stephen?
Well, there's some concerns now. The FDA does regulate them as, or they're actually not regulated, but they consider them a tobacco alternative at this point because most of the nicotine that is in the e-cigarettes does still come from tobacco. So they're, without regulation, the FDA is concerned about the quality of the nicotine people are getting because some of their tests have indicated that there are some carcinogens in some of the brands and that the nicotine isn't always a consistent level of nicotine. You know, so there is some concern around that. And the vapors themselves have not been tested for safety. The chemicals that are used for a lot of those in the e-cigarette have been tested to be safe in the form that they're in the capsule. But once you ignite them and inhale them into your lungs, those haven't been tested yet. So the whole idea of igniting these chemicals probably changes them. So at this point, the jury's out on just how safe they are.
What's your feeling on them? Can children be purchase these products?
If they are the nicotine-based ones, no, they cannot purchase them. They're treated just like cigarettes because they are nicotine devices. And in Europe now, they've just they've created some new regulations around them, and they're treating them as medication devices now because nicotine is a controlled substance. And that may happen here in the U.S. as we move more towards regulation of the e-cigarettes, and there are some of the companies who are moving towards regulation. So, you know, it's out there.
Well, do you think it was a good move, personally, for TUSD to not have these products available on the campuses?
I think the reasoning was valid. There's the issue of, you know, not knowing whether the vapors are safe or not at this point. And they're concerned that because they are so much like cigarettes, that it's real easy to move from one of the vapor cigarettes or e-cigarettes to a regular cigarette. It really doesn't. All you're doing is substituting one for the other, and sooner or later, kids might still end up picking up real cigarettes. And the tobacco, as we know, the tobacco is the leading cause of death in this country. So we want to keep kids from starting.
I want to talk a little bit about the FDA, their move to regulate the use of menthol as cigarette additives. This is something that just came out, I believe, last week. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration says it had actually announced a new round of efforts to regulate the use of menthol as a tobacco additive. Have there been some regulations on the books concerning this already?
There haven't, and that's out for comment right now. The FDA has an open comment period right now, and if anybody wants to comment, they can go to the FDA website, and they can give their own opinions if they want. I don't know when that closes, but that just was announced last week. This is open for public comment at this point. But there is a huge concern around these menthol additives because the research shows that the addition of these menthol additives actually increases the risk, especially of lung cancer.
Talk a little bit about the Smokers Helpline. How have you been doing with that, and how are things going with that?
Things have been relatively busy for the last few years. Now that there's been more, not just the statewide attention placed on people quitting tobacco, but also nationally, the CDC last year launched the first nationwide campaign to bring attention to people quitting tobacco instead of just about, you know, it's a bad habit, but actually getting people to think about quitting. And with that happening, we have both a state effort and with the national effort. We're fairly busy, but we're still funded very well by the state to make sure we have coaches for everybody who wants to quit.
How hard is it to quit?
Well, depending on where you've been and how many times you've tried, most people will tell us, especially if they're calling working with our coaches, very few people are quitting for the first time when they start working with our coaches, and they say over and over again, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. We still have drug addicts who call us and say, I gave up heroin, I gave up meth, giving up cigarettes is the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
And how addicting is for young people that just decide, well, maybe I'll try cigarette smoking. How soon are they quickly addicted?
The level of addiction with nicotine is right up there with heroin, and some people would say even higher than heroin. So it doesn't take very long for people to develop the habit that then leads to an addiction. There's always debate about how long that takes. You know, if somebody starts smoking, would I be hooked after the first one? Probably not, because most people, the first time they smoke, get sick, because the chemicals in it, especially nicotine, they don't taste well, and your body doesn't react well to them. It usually takes people a little while. Even now, we're starting a youth campaign to help teenagers and young adults quit smoking, and that's one of the messages we hear over and over. People didn't realize how easy it was to get hooked. They start smoking within a year. They're like, now, you know, I can't imagine my life without, you know, a cigarette here or there.
Stephen Michael is with us. Mr. Michael, the director of the Arizona Smokers Helpline. What is that number if folks are at all interested?
If people are interested in quitting, the easiest way is to call our number. It's 1-800-5566-222. Sounds funny, but it'll get you to us. It's 800-5566-222.
And on the web?
On the web, we're www.ashline.org.
You know, I think the most convincing argument for quitting smoking is that study that recently found that people who smoke take at least 10 years off their life expectancy. That was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The study also notes that kicking the habit by the age of 40 reduces the excess risk of death by about 90%. Pretty convincing, isn't it, Stephen Michael?
That's right. We always tell people it's never too late to quit. We have a lot of people who call us who are in their 70s and 80s. Even at that point, quitting can get you another year to 4 years.
All right. Stephen Michael, always good talking with you, the director of the Arizona Smokers Helpline. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. It's a pleasure always.
All right. Stephen Michael with the Arizona Smokers Helpline. Coming up now at 12:43 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. When we continue, we will speak with former state lawmaker Nancy Young Wright. She has become a leading advocate in this community for helping out the animals over at Pima Animal Control. We'll be talking to Nancy right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Well, 47 on this Monday afternoon, this portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. This is a big weekend over in Silver City. It's the weekend and week of the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival. Workshops, tours, lectures, panel discussions, films, vendor fair. There's three juried exhibitions. Fun for the whole family. That's the Silver City Clay Festival. Silver City is only about three and a half hours east of Tucson. Great climate over there this time of year, about 15 degrees cooler than Tucson. You can find out more about Silver City on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, and also lists all the great places to stay over there, including Bear Mountain Lodge and Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park and Spirit Canyon Lodge, just to name a few. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, former Arizona legislator Nancy Young Wright. Nancy is one of our community's leading animal welfare advocates. She has taken the lead in helping get the word out about the animal emergency at Pima County Animal Care Center. Nancy, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, Bill, but I think you're giving me far too much credit. I'm just one of many, many community members who care a lot about what's going on with the animals in our community and the overcrowding out at Pima Animal Care Center.
Well, we would like an update, Nancy. I know that they were overwhelmed at Pima County Animal Care Center. What's the situation like right now?
Well, Bill, thanks to an outpouring of community, people who stepped up to volunteer during the overcrowding and to the special adoption rates, the crowding has eased, and it seemed, the roots of it seemed to be embedded in the 4th of July fireworks scaring so many dogs and who ran away, followed right by a lot of serious heavy thunderstorms that also frightened a lot of dogs, combined, I guess, with people just surrendering their animals and lots of litters of kittens and puppies coming in to where 1,060 animals poured into that shelter between July 1 and July 15. But it has normalized somewhat. There are still more animals there than people would like to see there, but it's not at that crisis point that it was there for a little while.
And the Humane Society, kudos to them, of Southern Arizona. They stepped up with an emergency shelter to help relieve the overcrowding at Pima Animal Care Center. Is that now, do they still need that emergency shelter now, or has that been taken down?
I don't know for sure, Bill. I haven't heard that it's still up. I think it's probably not necessary at this time. The other reason that PAC tends to get as overcrowded as it does sometimes is it's the community's only large open admission shelter. There's no fee to drop off, and so folks come there and from all walks of life with all kinds of needs, and many of them don't have the fee to surrender an animal. So that is one reason why so many animals wind up out at Pima Animal Care Center. And the Humane Society is a wonderful partner to PAC. They come in, I saw their vans there several times during that crowded time, and they come anyway to help take out litters and rescue dogs. And there's more than 70 rescue organizations, Bill, that come and help PAC. And without them, I don't know how this community would get by. Frankly, without them, I think it would hardly be something that we could escape from everyone understanding and knowing just kind of the severity of the challenge we have in this community to take care of unwanted homeless pets.
We really need to talk about that and the challenge that we have in this community to try to cut down on this overwhelming number of dogs and cats that they'd make a great home. They'd make a great companion animal for someone, but whatever, they wind up at the shelter. Are the conditions better at the shelter lately? Have you seen a big improvement at Pima Animal Care Center?
Well, I have. The shelter is older. It was built in 1968 when the community was a fraction of the size, maybe a quarter of the size it is now, and it's only been enlarged, to my knowledge, one time, and that wasn't, but another maybe 30 kennels out there. So there ought to be ideally one or two animals, one or two dogs to a kennel run. And during the height of all this, we have four and five, even more or smaller dogs in one kennel. So that's not a good situation at all. And what it can also manifest in is more dogs and cats getting sick. When you have that many animals housed so close together, germs are airborne, they're everywhere, and dogs get parvo, cats get all manner of feline things, or dogs get kennel cough. And there's a small sick bay with just 16 kennels, but there's two dogs to a kennel in there. And so those conditions are very difficult for the animals, and that's something a lot of us would like to see PAC address next, is how can we improve the health of the animals so they can get out of there basically alive, because they do treat them for 2 weeks, and they keep trying as long as they can. And that's also when the rescues step up, Bill, and come in and take those sick animals out. And the rescues couldn't do their work without the dozens and dozens of volunteers in Tucson and the surrounding communities who don't get any paid compensation for this. They might get some of the medications repaid, but they are the ones who come and pull up. And one rescue group drove all the way from Phoenix to fill up two vans full of animals.
Wow.
So that is something that is actually a really positive thing to talk about. You probably heard, Bill, Saturday night there was something called Fosters to the Rescue at the Windmill Inn here in town, and they hosted an opportunity for the public to come find out what it would be like to volunteer as a foster. So that is one of the huge, huge pieces of lowering these numbers, is getting more people to step up and foster sick dogs, sick cats, infants, older animals. They're the ones who have the most difficult time at a shelter. You know, the tiny kittens, tiny puppies, the older animals, it's just very exponentially stressful on them. And probably it's more stressful for a cat than most of us would think to be in a shelter where they can hear all these dogs barking and just be in a small cage. It's probably harder on them, according to shelter staff. But I'm really encouraged that so many people are talking about what's going on and what's needed, because PAC has tried for, you know, many years with the resources they have to do what they're supposed to do. And in addition to sheltering those animals, they're, of course, the ones who take care of enforcement, the loose animals, stray animals, the dispatch, all the licensing. And it's hard for them to find the space to do more outreach. You know, the Humane Society's done a good job, but this town keeps growing and more people are here, and there's a huge need for education. And I can point to a couple of other cities. There's Albuquerque, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, Seattle. These cities are really progressive in terms of how they view the community's overall health and in conjunction with their animals. And they have taken the approach, they're going to be very aggressive about providing free and low-cost spay neuter certificates and education. And they've even taken the steps of mandating spay neutering and raising the fees for an unaltered animal to higher levels. And plus, they've backed that up with, in some cases, free spay neuter vans that go out into neighborhoods that are targeted for really having a lot of loose animals. So there's a lot of things we could do. But for right now, at this point in time, there is a group called the Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare. And your viewers might want to go to their Facebook page, Bill, if it's okay to talk about them.
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's at facebook.com/4PAAW, and the 4 is a number, 4. And this group is called the Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare. They're really working on what would it take to raise some funds, for example, privately, to add to what the Board of Supervisors allocates for free spay neuter certificates. The Board of Supervisors gives about $250,000 every year. And if we could fund another 3,000 certificates every year, that would begin to just wipe out the waiting list that's there. And the spay neuter certificates, they contract with some local veterinarians for those. Their reduced cost certificate is $75 for that surgery versus $94, according to the Pima Animal Care Center, just to process an animal in the door there.
Wow.
So over time, you know, the mathematicians out there could run us some numbers on this. Over time, you begin to see you reduce the number of litters out there, you reduce the number of animals that don't have a home in the community, and you combine that with all this stepped-up fostering efforts and stepped-up education efforts, and then you also bring in another element where we try to help people keep their animals. A lot of them surrender them because they can't afford medical care, can't afford food for them sometimes, so there's efforts afoot to try to form sort of like a 411 hotline that people could call if they're frustrated with their animal's behavior issues, or there's something going on, there's a divorce in the family, they've lost their job or their home, and those are lots of reasons why people can't keep their animals anymore, then they try very hard to help people with resources they need and answer their questions.
Nancy, just about out of time, but we do want to remind all of our listeners that for $13, the fee has been lowered. $13 will bring about an adoption, and adoptions for special needs animals are free.
Correct. I'm so glad you thought of that, Bill. It's on my list to mention. Yes, through the end of July, that fee is in effect. Now, there's still a $15 licensing fee for dogs. There's no fee for licensing a cat. We don't do that. And I'm sure the fee will remain low. There are specials that go on off and on throughout the year, but that is an amazing price. It covers the spay-neuter surgery, covers the microchipping, and all the shots the animals need, and there are some wonderful, wonderful dogs and cats out there. And your listeners can go to the PAC website and look at the pictures of the animals there. They can also go on Facebook and type in PAC, and they'll find a lot of different groups that are working to publicize the animals that need homes. And the other thing I'd like to quickly add is I volunteer there walking dogs and doing adoptions, and there's lots of opportunities now to volunteer at PAC and to become trained to advocate for the animals. So if your listeners go to the website, www.pimaanimalcare.org, and look at the volunteer button, they'll find out just how easy it is to get involved there, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to offer your service to the community.
Thank you very much, Nancy, and thank you for what you're doing for the community. Thanks a lot for being with us.
I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Nancy Youngwright, former Arizona legislator, who is now advocating. She's a volunteer for PEMA Animal Care Center, which can really use your support. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial needs. Thank you, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a cool bottle of Culligan water, and everyone appreciates that. John C. Scott Show this afternoon from 3 to 5, and then Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, their Tuesday edition. That will be from 6 to 8 tomorrow morning. We will be back tomorrow, 12:04. Colonel Martha McSally will visit with us, along with the Board of Regents president and our environmental correspondent, Mitch Tobin, and, of course, Shelley Fishman. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.